Certainly it is, again, a blessing to be assembled here in the house of the Lord. And much like many of the faith-based organizations in the world today, we are going to celebrate Mother's Day. I'd like to bring you a lesson talking about mothers. Did anybody think it was going to be something different? No? Probably not? I'd like to, before we begin, ask that all the mothers please stand. If all the mothers in the audience, would you please stand? All the mothers, please stand. Do you know if you're... Oh, okay. All right, now, listen closely. Proverbs 31. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. You are to be praised and recognized for your accomplishment as a mother. Now, while you're standing, I will ask you to do this for me. A little bit of a participatory thing here. If you are at least 45 years of age, please remain standing while the rest of you can sit down. I see somebody want to sit down. Be honest. If you are at least 45 years of age, remain standing. And the rest of you can sit down. Alright? If you have been married to your husband, that would be a man. In a legal ceremony, please remain standing. And the rest of you can sit down. If you are a mother of one or more children, and your youngest child is at least 15 years of age, please remain standing, and the rest of you can sit down. Now, if you have been a successful mother, as evident by your children's accomplishments, and bringing their teeth in is not one of them, please remain standing, and the rest of you can sit down. Now, if you are an active member of a faith-based organization, i.e. the Church of Christ, that's free, I'm not going to charge you for that, please remain standing, and the rest of you can sit down. If you are an active participant in the community, state or national or international activities, please remain standing, and the rest of you can sit down. Now, you don't know? Don't persuade her. She knows who she is. No? Now, what you have just heard is the qualifications for State Mother of the Year. Those are the qualifications for a State Mother of the Year. And I thought it was interesting that those qualifications were there because it helps to qualify or bona fide the way the world even looks at how important the role of motherhood is. How important the role of motherhood is. Now, we actually do have a winner. You didn't think I was going to just leave you hanging, did you? We do have a winner on this one. 2009 South Carolina Mother of the Year is Betty G. McGregor. She is the 2009 National Mother of the Year, who meets all of those criteria that I mentioned earlier. And just to give you a little bit of background on Jean, she is, or rather was, born April 24th, 1930, in Cameron, South Carolina, daughter of Margaret and Esmond Ulmer. She graduated 1951, Columbia College, and married Sam. They established their home in Hopkins. Sam was called to military service in 1952. Her child was born at Fort Benning, returned to Hopkins after military service, and became an active member in the community, church, and schools. They were blessed with four additional children. During the next 55 years, they enjoyed children's activities, church, Clemson football, trips to the beaches, mountains, national capital, and foreign countries. They also faced major tragedies. Farm fire, where six lives were lost, critical illness, and droughts. Their faith and friends' support made them an even stronger family. They cared for Sam's father and Betty's mother in their home for 4 years. Some of us would just fall off the map with that one, right? That's a good relationship with mother-in-laws. Just in case you didn't understand that. Or in-laws, in period, yeah. Their children blessed them with five spouses and eight grandchildren. Betty has represented South Carolina at state, national, international conferences. Both have been recipients of state and national awards. Betty's life exemplifies the true meaning of motherhood. Wow. Wow. Alright, there's that. Now, when asked about her philosophy of parenting, this is what Betty had to say. This 2009 South Carolina Mother of the Year, Betty Jean McGregor, said this: "My philosophy is based on factors involving my principles and experiences. Children are a gift from God. And we are all given an opportunity to help them develop to their full potential, mentally, physically, socially, and morally. Parenting means giving children roots and wings. Roots grow deep when parents demonstrate, by example, a deep faith in Christ and love and respect for one another. Life is not about having no problems. Rather, it's about how we deal with the problems we have. Families develop bonds when they eat together, not play Nintendo together, or the Wii, and share the day's activities. Worship and play together, have family responsibilities, take advantage of educational opportunities. Children need tasks in which they succeed, thus enabling them to feel positive about themselves. They need to learn early financial responsibilities through the handling of allowances." The kids are like, "Yes!" "And parents, or rather as parents, we need to spend individual time with each child to listen to their opinions and questions, to let them know how important they are. Each child should feel special. Their wings are made strong when they encourage individual creativity and give them room. Rather, when we encourage individual creativity and give them room to explore and develop their talents and interests. Above all, teach them by example to be compassionate, kind, and respect the faith and culture of others." This is the philosophy of Betty Jean McGregor, 2009 South Carolina Mother of the Year. I read that to let you know that even the world has a standard for motherhood. Even the world has a standard for motherhood. It's so evident that when we hear or see a mother who is horrible, she gets great notoriety, plastered all over the news, Uncle Mom, that's free. I'm not going to charge you for that. That's just out there. I'm saying everybody's got an opinion about Uncle Mom based on her motherhood. It's an important role. It's one that the world even recognizes as an important role. The History of America's Mothers Incorporated, or AMI, began back during the conflict of the Civil War, and Anna Rees Jarvis, she sought to heal the hearts of families caught in the conflict of the Civil War, organizing a day of love and friendship across battle lines. This simple observance grew into a national holiday known as Mother's Day. American Mothers Incorporated was organized as a division of the Golden Rule Foundation and was incorporated under the laws of the state of New York in 1950. On June 1st, 1954, it became a completely independent organization, nonprofit, and now tax exempt. AMI is the official sponsor of Mother's Day. It embraces all faiths. Now, their motto or creed or mission statement: we serve to educate and honor those who love and care for children in any capacity. AMI is an organization of women and men, married and single, parents and grandparents, dedicated to preserving the moral and spiritual foundations of the family in America. At the time when the return of the family values has become a national priority, American Mothers Incorporated responds with educational, cultural, and spiritual programs for mothers of all ages. I thought that was very interesting. That, number one, a criteria is out there. Number two, one that the world even recognizes, that again reinforces how important the role of motherhood is. Now, to bring it in a little bit, I just read for you Proverbs 31, verses 27 through 31. God also knows how important the role of motherhood is. The question is, do the mothers know how important the role of motherhood is? Certainly they do, they should. It is a good lesson because some mothers get tired of mothering. It's a tough job. Just reading what I read there for this Mother of the Year, it's a tough job to do. To be involved, you just think about all the different things that you have to be involved in to make sure the kids are raised in the admonition of the Lord. That is a tough job to do. I'd like for you to turn with me. I've given you a few statistics here, but I would like you to turn with me to, well, where's my outline? Somewhere I have an outline. All this paper and no outline. Where's my outline? Did I forget my outline? Is there something there, honey? Oh, no. It's here. I gotta look like she would look and not who the husband would think. Oh, there we go. That's down. That was close. John 16, verse 20 and 21. John 16. Jesus says in John 16, 20 through 21, it says, truly, I say unto you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn to joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because of her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Now it's talking about, Jesus is talking about here, about his pending suffering and resurrection. and ascension into heaven, talking to his disciples about how the sorrow will come upon them, like a woman who gives birth. And women are thinking, it's not going to be that bad. Jesus said, that's enough for us. I think if you talk to some women today, they'll tell you that pain kind of kept going a little bit every now and again with different things, different trials that they kind of experienced in their, in particular, their children's lives. In my research, one of the greatest fears that mothers have, I have to do the research since I'm not a mother, see, I have to do the research, is that one, that they can't provide or protect their children. Can't provide or protect their children. And that is, of course, for those good mothers out there who are providing and protecting their children. But that's one of the greatest fears they have. Now, there's different outside influences in the world today that make that fear very evident. And we're not going to necessarily teach a lesson about that. But what do the mothers do after their mothering, if you will, is done? The direct contact with your child that is dependent upon you and in your home. I can tell you my mom does a lot of praying. So, well, you're a Christian. She still does a lot of praying. I ask this question because provisions, good mothering and the provision necessary for a child go back to some of those criteria that even the AMI, the American Mothers Institute, recognizes. So much they put it in there. So we're going to talk about that a little bit too. Why do you think it's necessary in these qualifications to be at least 45 years of age? Certainly we have mothers here that are not 45 years of age. They're younger than that. And they're proud of it too, aren't they? Yes, they are. Be at least 45 years of age. Titus chapter 2, verse 3. Food for thought to reaffirm that criteria. Titus chapter 2, verse 3 reads that older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to too much wine. They are to teach what is good and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Makes a good point for the necessity of the older women in our audience, older than the age of 45, seasoned with at least a child at the age of at least 15 years of age. Now, why that? Why a child of at least 15 years of age? Children have a funny way of teaching you some things about mothering. And 15 years with one of them is enough. That'll do it. Right? You thought you knew it all, did you, Sarah? Wait till they get 15. She says, wait till they get 15. Start going through those adolescent years. Start hearing more of that, I hate you, Mom. Shame on you kids if you said that to your mom. Those adolescent years are trying years, right? Hormones going all over the place and just different things happening. That's one of the reasons why they have that as a criteria. Because then you become seasoned in your interaction with your young ones. Now, another criteria. Been married to a husband, a man, in a legal ceremony. It's a shame they have to actually put that there, but they do. Because that's trying to be redefined as, well, is being redefined as we speak. But now, I want to talk about that provision, after the kids are grown and gone. after the kids are grown and gone. It's the provisions that you've made as an active member of a faith-based organization, as it's mentioned here in this criteria. Why is that required? Why is it a requirement to have a mother that's an active member in a faith-based organization? Remember where the role of motherhood came from. Creating life. He who gives life knows best how to define it, does he not? That's where your faith comes in. That's where God comes in. And we have to instill this in our children at a very young age. Very young age. Or else the outside influences will get to them first. So now I'd like to segue from the qualifications of a Mother of the Year and start talking about their most important role, of course, in bringing up their children. Undoubtedly the most important role in humanity, bringing up children. What would humanity be if they weren't properly brought up? We've seen evidence of improperly raised children. The jail is full of them. Now, that's not saying that, you know, two kids in the same household, given the same instructions, whatnot, one goes right, one goes left. You know this happens. What causes that? You've got one parent, one set of parents, right? And you got the same kids, and they all don't go this way. Some go this way, some go that way. What causes that? It's the outside influences. You can't keep them in a bubble. You'd love to, though, wouldn't you? But you can't. As soon as they turn on that television in that bubble, they've got an outside influence. As soon as they go to school. As soon as another relative or family member comes over and starts spouting off that stuff, they start spouting off. You know that one. That one family member, you just, wow, I wish they would shut up. Say, Uncle this or Auntie that, the children. Well, they gotta hear it sometime. No, they don't. But you can't convince them. No, they just go on and on. And the kids hear it, and there you go, you're done. They pick it up. And the least time you expect it, they start. And that person isn't there, but you're there, your mom, you're there, and they just start saying stuff that Uncle or Auntie said, and there you are in the grocery store, embarrassed. Raising kids is a tough job to do. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I got so much paper up here because I don't want to say everything I got up here. But I got to have something here to reference to. 3, verses 1 through 7. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 7. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents. Ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit. We're talking about outside influence. Because of the state of the world we live in today, this role of motherhood cannot be taken lightly. And the necessity to give your children roots in church cannot be taken lightly. Why church? Because there you can find the foundation that combat such evil that exists in the world today. There is so much evil that exists in the world today. How can you possibly protect your children, you alone? Mothers, in particular. The beauty of the Word of God and His design for humanity is that you don't have to. He has made a way for you to be a mother, have peace in an untoward generation. But you have to embrace its necessity. Those mothers out there that are thinking, you know what, I don't want to really, you know, indoctrinate my children, and I don't want to talk to them about religion. Yeah, I want them to figure it out for them and decide for themselves. You know, when they get of age, of accountability, and all of this other stuff. Did you do that when you decided not to have them brush their teeth? No, I don't want to brush their teeth. I mean, I like brushing their teeth. They're white and nice. That's really good to have. But I want them to really want that. So I'll wait for them. Keep waiting. Your kid's going to have some messed up grills. Toothpaste is not candy. And kids know it right away. What about spinach? Did you wait for them to kind of grow into the... Wait till they get the flavor for spinach and then you can have some. Some still won't eat spinach because it was so bad. Never eating spinach. Or carrots. Or all those good vegetables. Never had those kids take all those vegetables, crowd them on one side of the plate, and there's the meat. Let's get cracking. Don't see the value in that. Why? Well, they're kids. Not up to them, really. It's up to you. You leave it up to kids to decide when is a good time to have vegetables, brush your teeth, go to school, come to church. They never will. Because they're kids. Kids want to do other things. They have other interests. And the greatest influences, I mean, you're talking about a world full of Nintendo. I'm late, that's Wii. Last time I played one of those games was Atari. I thought it was great, too. Bring that ship back with the little, what were those things, those little ship would shoot the asteroids and, is that what they were? What was it? It was called Asteroids, huh? Awesome. Now, not enough. It's not enough to play that little, you remember the one with the ping pong? You just move the dial and you're playing ping pong on the TV. That was awesome. Kids look at that and they go, what are you doing? Not enough. Why? Boy, you gotta have blood, gut, and gore. You've gotta have shoot 'em up. You've gotta have cars tumbling and people's head decapitated. Yeah, that's what they're doing today. So, begs the question, why don't kids like to go to church? We're talking about mothers bringing children up in the world so that they can have something that will protect them from the outside influences in the world. And those mothers who decide for some reason, I'll let them just kind of grow into that because I want them to be able to decide for themselves and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You're putting yourself and your children in a horrible situation. A horrible situation. Why don't kids like to go to church? Well, one, it's not entertaining enough. I'm probably the most animated that you've seen behind this pew in a while. I get really animated. That's just the way I am. It comes from being a show-off when I was young. My mom just called me Head. That was my name. Sit down, Head. Everyone can see you because it was really big and I always showed off. And I like to capture an audience and all that's really good, but that's not a requirement. That's just my style. The requirement is to hear the word, hear the truth, embrace the truth, any way that it is presented to you. But for kids today, that is not enough. And it's not enough because they are, they got that entertainment part. They've got these games that are so dynamic and 3D and this and that. You got the virtual experience now. You can't get that here. You got to sit down, be quiet, be respectful, and all of a sudden, these kids don't have time for that. But if you don't teach them the importance of that, then how are they going to go to work? You gotta go to work, you gotta sit down, you gotta be quiet. Yeah. How are you gonna go to school, get an education? When you go there, you gotta sit down, you gotta be quiet, you gotta read. Yeah. This is why a lot of kids don't go to church. They quit school, that is boring. Work overrated. Whew. Let's just hang out on the corner, steal what we can eat, and just have a good time, dude. Have a good time. There are kids that are doing that. And the ones who couldn't successfully pull that off just went to jail. And then all that's done for them. They get their food and they sit down and there they are. So these kids that don't have anything else to go on, they'll find something else to go on. The world is waiting to give it to them. It's up to you to instill the good values that peer pressure won't do, that entertainment won't do, and hypocrisy won't do. Hypocrisy. Interesting. That's where we don't practice what we preach as parents. You say it's important to go to church, but you talk about a church member? Hypocrisy. You say it's important to go to church, but then you say you don't want to, but you're going to go. And then you don't go. Kids see this. Kids are real smart. They really are smart. And they look at your example. When you talk about leading by example, they must have made that expression for kids. Because that's how most of them learn, is by your example. Look with me at 1 Timothy. Verse 16. Chapter 3, verse 16. Am I getting it right in 3:16? 1 Timothy 3:16. Well, 14 then. 14 and following. I hope to come to you, this is Paul writing, let's see here. Verse 15, and if I delay, you may know that you ought have been in the house, that you ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of truth. That's what the church offers. A pillar of truth is what the church offers. This is why it's so important for a young person to get their roots in the church. So, well, what about my truth? What about my values? Well, where are you getting them? Are you getting them from your mom and dad? And were their values better than yours? Did you wait till I have kids to find that out? Some of us did. Oh, mom, I see what you mean now. Did you give that speech yet? Think about the values that are instilled in the church that are steadfast, unmovable, consistent, crosses cultural lines, crosses boundaries, crosses states, crosses worlds. And think about the provisions you provide for your child by getting roots in such an institution. You can have peace that surpasses understanding in an untoward world or generation. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Most of you are familiar with this and probably can quote it. Proverbs chapter 2, and rather 22, verse 6. I've got to get used to my new Bible. This is a real challenge. You ever get a new Bible? Things aren't where they used to be. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. It's highlighted in your Bible already. You've read it before. You know this verse. Some of you have it by memory. It defines the necessity for those provisions that you make, laying down a foundation of faith and trust in God and God's will. It provides. And the kids, they remember it. Even I remembered it after I didn't want to. Left the church. Because I thought, till I hit rock bottom, and the only way out wasn't a hug for mom and a coddling and a bottle and the crib and all of that protection, that bubble. You're not going to get that. She said, you need to put God first. You knew this. You knew this. You need to put God first. That's what's wrong. Has your mother ever told you that? You need to put God first? If she did, she's a wise woman. Train up a child the way he should go, and when he is old, he won't depart from it. These are the words which the Lord has commanded for us to do. Because he knows the untoward generation that we would be in, and that this wasn't going to be a perfect world outside of our parents' house and the provisions that were made for us. The biblical responsibilities of a parent are evident in this chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 through 7. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verses 6 through 7. You shall teach them diligently to your children, that being the commandments of the Lord. And they shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by your way and when you lie down and when you rise up, and you shall bind them on their, as a sign on your hand, and they shall be frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gate. Did you all have one of those, you got that household Bible that's really huge? Anybody do that? Remember that? This huge, huge, huge. It's huge. What with the reflective and all the pictures and all. Remember that Bible? We had one of those Bibles. And it was like, God is here. It's kind of the same concept in a way, you know. Certainly you have to open it up and read a few passages, you know. But that's kind of what we had back in the day. I don't know if that's happening now, but that's kind of what we had back in the day. I don't know. Anymore today, it kind of doesn't fit in the decorating scheme, does it? Huge book. It was God's idea that this would be second nature to you, to remember His will, to talk about His will. Just like you were saying, well, how was your day today? In what way did you praise God today? Ooh. Ever had that conversation? In what way did you exemplify Christianity today? It's kind of like that. You're eating. You're at the table. Kids had a day at school, this and that, all of that. And how was it? In what way did you praise God today? Does that stick out like a sore thumb? Because if it is, you're not applying some of this. Are you talking about God? Are you sharing the Word of God? Are you reading your Bible together? Are you praying together?
You should be.
Oh, I'm so busy, I don't have time for all that. Any time for God. Well, the outside influences, they make time for your kids, they really do. And kids will take time for them. You have to show them the way. Well, I had one more scripture, because this is really going to be a short lesson. So unlike me. What does my time look like? Good time? Getting anxious? Wow. I got my glasses on. I can see you, Kyle. You know, the lesson wouldn't be complete if we couldn't talk about the bad mothers in the world. I got an example of one. I didn't want to make the lesson about her, though. But she's horrible. Mail Online article, it says here, this teenager, Sam Holt's behavior would have most parents in despair. She's drinking, smoking, taking drugs, having sex. But the 13-year-old's mother thinks it's sweet rather than shocking. Tracy Holt even rewards her daughter with cigarettes on rare occasions when she does behave. Oh, yeah. A world. Now, did you forget 2 Timothy? 2 Timothy, remember 2 Timothy chapter 3? Go over there really quick. Just again, I won't read it, but just go over there and you'll understand why I'm reading this. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and just kind of keep it there and understand why I'm bringing this up. Verses 1 through 7. We read it earlier. This is a real human being. She's on earth. Sitting there with a daughter and they're both smoking a cigarette. Yeah. Miss Holt 43 shows Sam, knows Sam is drinking, but she knows that she drinks, but is just relieved that it's not more than a couple of cans of lager. Is it lager? Lager? What do you say that? What word is that? Good, you don't know. Beer. A night. A couple cans of beer a night, so she's not a total liar. And she decided not to get angry about her daughter's losing her virginity at 12. Instead insisted that Sam uses contraception, you know. That's the world standard, that's not God. And even the world is ashamed of this woman. All is not lost. The world has better standards. We read them earlier. But I'm just showing you how left alone, what will kids do that aren't rooted in the good stuff? As defined by proper parenting, of course. See, Sam thinks this is good stuff. She can sit and smoke with her mom. She's 13. She's cool. Miss Holt, that's her name, Mrs. Holt, this Miss Holt, rather, a jobless, single mother with two other adult children, told Closer magazine, "I don't see the point in punishing her. If I ground her, I'm just punishing myself because I have to put up with her in the house." That's really bad. That's bad. But some parents that get tired of parenting. Mothers that get tired of mothering. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 3. Let's look at that. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 3. Or rather, verse 8. "But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." Here she is, jobless, single mother who has two other adult children and she's smoking a cigarette with a 13-year-old. Worse than an unbeliever. The unbelievers wrote this article. This did not come from the gospel way. This is just an article. She says, if I ground her, I'm punishing myself because I have to put up with her in the house, you know. Instead of rewarding her good behavior by giving her cigarettes, if she's bad, she just goes without cigarettes. You know, if it wasn't true, it'd be comical. She's a little comedian, her mother says here, and I let her get away with a lot of cheek. It's sweet. You ever have those kids that are kind of precocious? It's a big word, don't ask me to spell it. I'd rather teach you Pozola. Did I say it right? I told you it'd be a test. They said, what are you talking about? I said, that's their name. Pozola. It doesn't look like that, but that's what it is. Giving out cigarettes as a reward works, she insisted. Ms. Hull said there's a lot of worse things that she could be doing. Now, if you decide by the world standards of how good your kids are, you are already lost as a parent. You are lost as a parent. Well, it's not as bad as so-and-so's kids over here. What, barefoot and running around? They're not even clean. Look at them. Ugh. God is the standard for parenting and children. And they need to be here to get it. Especially when you get tired of parenting, which happens sometimes. All that you would have a community of Christian parents to help you out and kind of be there for you. You can just say, hey, I need a break. Watch my kids. You don't have to worry about anything. She goes, been there, done that. Wow, it happens. It's normal. It's natural. Miss Holt, who smokes 20 packs a day, also appears relaxed about her daughter's other pastime. She says Sam often hangs out with her mates on the street. They'll get drunk. Well, they'll drink lager and smoke pot and do all this other stuff, too. Just talking casually. I think she drinks a couple of cans at night, so I'm lucky she's not a proper drunk. Yeah. That's enough about her. Loser mom. Big time loser mom. Can't read anymore. The troubling thing is, she's not the worst one I found in my research. I'm sparing your ears. Motherhood is a very important role. In a world today filled with so many outside influences, what with the entertainment, the media, the this, that, the friends that aren't worth a grain of salt. We have got to remind the children the importance of being here and our example of being here as well. When they get bored, tell them life can be a little bit boring sometimes. What with work and school and all this other stuff, but you still have to be able to sit there, be respectful, listen, and receive instruction. And you have to be able to do that without mom and dad. That's life. Kids aren't having fun. They think it's wrong. They think they go to work and they're supposed to have fun. I just read an article the other day. If they're not having fun, they're in the wrong job. If you're not having fun, you've got a job. You know what I'm saying? Wow. But yeah. Oh, I'm bored. What happened to the other? Great job. What happened to it? Oh, I got bored with that. They have different standards today, and it's up to us as good parents, good Christian parents, to say, no, that's not how it goes. And you can do this and still be a good person and still have fun and enjoy your life. But it really is up to us, because kids, they don't know any better. Some of them just don't know. You know, that's up to you to instill that right now. Simple things like sitting on the pew and being quiet. You know? Who would have thought something as simple as that would teach? But it does. Being respectful. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Shaking a hand. Seeing different people. White, black, Hispanic, all different kinds of cultures. Right here. Worshiping together. In spirit and in truth. You can break down a whole lot of bad influences just doing that. That's God's way. Well, that was pretty bad. Our primary goal as parents is to raise our children in the admonition of the Lord. Nothing is more important. Being together here in the assembling of the saints, nothing's more important. Well, I gotta get my kids to this and get that, you know, gain the whole world and lose your soul. Your kid can be great at this sport and that activity and this and, oh, they're an honor student, their grades are doing all, woo-hoo! If they should gain the whole world and lose their soul, what good is it? You got them doing everything but going to church. Is that you? Have them go to church too. And as a lead by example, you come. How about those parents that drop their kids off? I saw a lot of that growing up. Just drop the kids off, go to church. What is that? It happens though. We even have one that just comes on her own. Just shows up. No parents. I don't even know if she got dropped off. She just shows up. She comes to church. What an extraordinary young person. That can put God first in spite of their parents. You know, the Bible actually teaches about that. Matthew chapter, what is it? Those out there who know it? Matthew. I wish I studied more. But I probably don't need that scripture because I know we won't get out of here. The world does have a standard for motherhood. Do you? Have you successfully implemented the necessities of bringing up your child in the way that they ought to go? I can see by some of the parents in here, you've done that. Because your kids are here. You're here. You're healthy. Your kids are healthy. You're putting God first. Some of the kids in this congregation, it's almost, it's just, I'm speechless at their maturity and their respectfulness for one another. Their parents. And you know what? The world is impressed by your children too. They're like, how old is this? Yeah, they're just sitting there and they're quiet and they know how to interact with grown-ups and they just do all the right things and they're just putting God first and they pray and they do all this stuff and they're grounded. And grounded. It's because of your example. Your good, godly example has raised beautiful children. You are a product of that if you are here. And you can be that in spite of your parents if I ever find Matthew and I can show you. How do you close the lesson when you like to talk? You stop talking. That's the lesson. Not so much meant to bring you to Christ, necessarily. Reaffirm the necessity of being in Christ. For those of you who are even thinking about waiting for your children to grow up before they can understand and embrace it, and just not bringing them to church and not being a good example before them, don't do that. That is not good. Because kids will no more do the right thing on their own without guidance than you did. Frankly. So let us think about the importance of motherhood. Let us think about the importance of raising good, godly children, and let us be an assembly here at the church and see that our children are rounded and grounded with roots in Christianity that will provide for them long after you're gone and make for a better world than we live in today because of their existence. If you are in need of a prayer, you are in need of anything at all, we always offer the invitation song. You've heard some of the guidelines of Christianity. Do you believe it? Do you embrace it? If so, it'll be exemplified in your life. You'll do it. We talked about that in our Bible class today. If you're subject to the invitation, we encourage you to come while together we stand and sing the song. Let's go select.
The kingdom of God.